Hey, this is Brock. Welcome back to The Sun on the Strip, and thanks for listening. I'm an entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'll be your guide to everything that's happening this week and every week on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. You can find this podcast at lasvegassun.com/podcasts, and you can listen and subscribe to The Sun on the Strip at Apple Podcasts. This is Wednesday, January 15th, and we're going to be talking music, specifically the new resident headliners on the Strip for 2020, with one of my favorite local writers, Jason Latham. But before we get to that, let's do some news. You almost certainly read about this yesterday at lasvegassun.com or anywhere else you get your Vegas news, but I have to mention it anyway. MGM Resorts International has laid out its plans for the sale and lease back of two more of the biggest and best-known resorts on the Strip. In October, it was Bellagio, and this week, it's MGM Grand and Mandalay Bay, certainly two of the pillars of the South Strip and two of the greatest entertainment destinations in Las Vegas. The company's real estate trust arm, MGM Growth Properties, and the Blackstone Group will create a new joint venture that will take ownership of the two properties, which, by the way, have a whopping 10,000 hotel rooms between them, in a transaction valued at $4.6 billion. MGM will continue to operate them through a long-term lease, and MGM Growth will own 50.1% of the new joint venture. So nothing major will change in the day-to-day at these two resorts, and this is definitely not a surprise as MGM Resorts continues to make moves to reduce its long-term debt. And we could see something similar happen with Aria and the company's holdings at City Center. This new deal is expected to close at the end of March. In other big casino biz news, a quick update on The Drew hit the news last week thanks to a story from CDC Gaming Reports. Really, the most notable thing is that the project's leader confirmed the planned opening is now set for late 2022. The Drew, of course, is taking over the building on the North Strip that was set to become the Fountain Blue many years ago, ran out of funding. I started to think about all the developments on this part of the Strip and what kinds of shows, concerts, and nightlife we might expect in the next few years from new resorts like The Drew and Resorts World, and what might be coming to Circus Circus in the Sahara. And so I wrote a column all about it for this week's Las Vegas Weekly magazine. My column's called The Incidental Tourist, and it's been appearing in the weekly for almost 7 years now. So go check that out at lasvegasweekly.com. A few interesting developments in nightlife this week, starting at Wynn, or more specifically at Encore, which has released more details about the Mexican restaurant that's set to open on March 19th in the space next to Encore Beach Club, formerly occupied by Andreas, a slightly clubby Asian restaurant. We already knew that the ATM Group, the company behind acclaimed restaurants Cosme and Atla in New York City and Pujol in Mexico City, would be putting this project together. But now we know its name is Elio. I wrote all about this in my food news column this week, Taste Trends, which shows up every Sunday at lasvegassun.com. I hate to tell you to go read another thing, but you should. Not only is Elio unique in that it's the first Mexican restaurant ever at Wynn or Encore, but it also sounds like it will create some synergy with Encore Beach Club next door and offer some sort of entertainment of its own. Elio is being supervised by the Wynn Nightlife team, similar to the way that the MGM Resorts Nightlife team developed and operates the new Mayfair Supper Club at Bellagio. And remember that Wynn also has Delilah, also very supper clubbish, coming in the springtime to the space that used to be the fine dining restaurant Alex. So food is becoming an even bigger part of nightlife on the Vegas Strip, or perhaps a better way of explaining it is to say that nightlife experience in Vegas that has come to be defined by big loud clubs is continuing to evolve with new, more diverse, and self-contained experiences. The first nightlife venue to wrap all those experiences into one place, Tao at the Venetian, is taking part of that experience out of the equation this year. You already know Tao is a restaurant, lounge, nightclub, and day club in the Grand Canal Shops, but you didn't know until right this second that Tao Beach won't be opening in 2020. In an exclusive from Las Vegas Weekly, the Tao Group announced that Tao Beach will be on hiatus this coming pool season, as it will be under construction to create an all-new, bigger, and better experience for 2021. You can go read the story right now at lasvegasweekly.com. And back at Wynn, Drake played another blockbuster CES week gig at XS last week, And then the club announced he'll be back May 2nd and May 16th. That first date is Cinco de Mayo weekend, so you know there'll be a huge fight in Vegas. This weekend is the first big fight of the year in Vegas with UFC 246, Conor McGregor versus Cowboy Cerrone. McGregor's post-fight party is at Encore Beach Club Saturday, while Cowboy will be at On the Record after they duke it out at T-Mobile Arena. A few significant concert and show announcements this week. Trevor Noah from The Daily Show, who last played the Strip at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace last summer, he'll make his comedy debut at Encore Theater at Wynn on July 24th and 25th. Tickets are on sale this Friday, January 17th. And straight from the 90s, Matchbox 20 and the Wallflowers make a tour stop at the Pearl at the Palms on September 26th. And those tickets are also on sale Friday. And Babyface has added some dates at the Terry Fader Theater at the Mirage after playing his first shows there over the holidays. He's already coming back this weekend. Now he's also on stage again on March 6th, 7th, and 8th. Tickets for those March shows are on sale this Thursday, January 16th. Illuminate, the entertainment technology company that blends customized wireless lighting programming with group dance performances and other entertainers, and has been seen on America's Got Talent. It's opening a show called Illuminate Happy Hour on March 26th at the Sin City Theater at Planet Hollywood on the Strip. You can read more about this in my weekly show column, Curtain Up. It comes out every Thursday at LasVegasSun.com. Okay, it's time to talk about residencies. A year ago at this time, we just had Lady Gaga play her first shows at Park Theater. Aerosmith was about to play Park Theater too. And some other big names like Christina Aguilera, Shania Twain, and Def Leppard were setting up shop on the Strip. It was a pretty big year for these headliner-type shows. And with the Coliseum at Caesars Palace renovating, it seemed like more big names would be on the way for 2020. Two of the most recently announced acts made their official residency debuts over the weekend. Keith Urban at the Coliseum and David Lee Roth at the House of Blues. Urban had already played the Coliseum when it reopened in September, and he'll be back at Caesars throughout the year. And that's why David Lee Roth was the more intriguing residency to me out of these two for a number of reasons. Here to talk about Diamond Dave's show and run down these residencies is Jason Latham, Las Vegas writer who contributes to Las Vegas Weekly, as well as a host of other publications. Jason, how's 2020 treating you so far?
It's treating me very well. How are you, Sprock?
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You saw David Lee Roth's second show.
Yes.
At the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay on Friday night.
Yes.
He played his third on Saturday. Now he's gone until mid-March, so I'm going to have to wait till then to go see him. But what did you think?
It was just what I expected and just what I wanted when I went to see a David Lee Roth show. We're not going to get a Van Halen residency. This is the closest that we're going to get to a Van Halen residency. And I think, you know, David Lee Roth, as crazy as he is in interviews, and I interviewed him, and he is kind of loony. It's like trying to chase down a pinball is what I wrote. But he really, you know, he brings it on stage what he can. You know, his he's not as limber mm-hmm. as he used to be, mm-hmm. but he gave us a leg kick, which was nice. And he told a couple of stories in between, you know, how they you know, stop and fill some time with a few stories. And he wasn't as crazy on stage. He was very much kind of stick to the material and give the audience what they want.
His onstage stories didn't bounce around pinball style as much as his interview stories?
Not really. There were only a few of them. I took a look at the set list from the opening night, and I said, okay, this is all right. He changed it up both nights afterwards. So he had different music going in there. And for the night that I was there, the Friday night, they really put a lot of Van Halen in there, which is exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. So the whole time I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, this is something that they didn't hear on Wednesday night. I'll give you Running with the Devil. Everybody Wants Some was in my show. That was a big deal. Janie's Crying, Panama, did a Pretty Woman cover. Mm-hmm. Beautiful Girls. Ain't Talking About Love.
He's got a lot of covers in his arsenal.
They do.
That he's become known for over yeah. the years. And in his post-Van Halen years, especially. It sounds like he rolled out most of those.
He did. The first one out the gate was from the Kinks. It was You Really Got Me. And, of course, California Girls, the cover of one of his biggest hits there. Even Just Gigolo. But when he really gets into the Van Halen stuff, that's when I just started to kind of go crazy. And I love to be as close as I can be at a show. So I was down on the floor. I wasn't super close to the stage. But, you know, you hear the first parts of a song and just kind of go nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting aspect of this show because it's at the House of Blues. The Coliseum, I just mentioned, of course, that they renovated that place, reopened in the fall, and now they do have the capacity to do standing room right in front of the stage. And part of the reason they did that is to be able to bring in different kinds of acts,
mm-hmm.
probably rock acts,
yeah.
that might not necessarily want to play this kind of traditional Celine Dion giant arena-sized showroom because they want the energy of the people partying in the front as it goes across the street at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. That's, you know, those shows have been more kind of nightclubby.
Mm-hmm.
The success of Britney and the Jennifer Lopez show and all that stuff. You got people dancing down there.
Yeah.
So Caesars is going that route a little bit. House of Blues has always been able to do this. That's why it's such a beloved venue.
Yeah.
There's really no limit to the kind of performer you can have in that room.
You're right about that. And House of Blues turns, what, 21 this year? I think it was last year they had their 20th anniversary. And I've seen a lot of shows at House of Blues, but I was really, like, impressed by the closeness of this one. And I don't know if that's because they accommodated for people on the lower levels, some seating. There was a lot of tables and chairs because there were a lot of people that were seated surrounding kind of the standing room section, the crowd, but it was very, very close. And David Lee Roth is famously quoted in interviews talking about how he likes to be able to see people right in the eye mm-hmm. from the stage. And I think there's not a better venue to watch that kind of act than House Blues because of the size. Mm-hmm. It's just so nice and intimate.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Santana's show that's been running multiple years at the House of Blues now. And I just like the idea of these, you know, big Vegas residencies in these smaller rooms. We just saw Paula Abdul do her version at the Flamingo. Robbie Williams is coming back for more shows at Encore Theater this year. David Lee Roth kind of reminds me of Robbie Williams.
We'll expand on that.
That. Because, well, they can both do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Not just their own material, but, you know, really put on a Vegas show, do a lot of covers, incorporate things maybe you haven't seen them do before. When I saw Robbie Williams last year at Wynn, and I was coming out, it was a big crowd, and we were all jammed together, and, you know, you start talking to people that you don't know. And I was talking to this guy who was, he seemed a little bit upset. He had flown in from Florida just to see Robbie Williams, I assume his favorite artist. And he was a little bit disappointed because those first few shows at Wynn, he didn't do a lot of his own material. And I'm not an expert on Robbie Williams. I don't know his catalog that well.
Yeah.
But he only did a few of his own songs. He did a lot of kind of Rat Pack-y stuff and, like, you know, just kind of classic covers that he thought would appeal to an American audience. This guy's got fans everywhere,
yeah.
like a rabid fan base in every country except the United States, it seems like. It's not that he's not a big deal here. He's just not as big mm-hmm. as in the UK or Australia or Europe. Anyway, this fan was, like, disappointed that he didn't get to see Robbie Williams sing more Robbie Williams songs. But that's a little bit of a tangent. But that's the kind of... that's why that comparison is coming from. I feel like David Lee Roth could do an all Van Halen show.
Mm-hmm.
He could do an all cover show. And who knows what else.
Well, didn't, you know, Roth, he had a show about 10, 15 years ago. How long ago was it here?
I'm not sure.
He did have a strip show. It was a kind of a small, kind of loungy act. And I think he was mm-hmm. criticized for not doing enough Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
And this show, I got exactly the right amount of Van Halen that I wanted because it's all the hits. And I think one of the great things about some of the artists that we've had recently come in, like Def Leppard that you mentioned, they are strictly with the hits. Like, they know where the bread is buttered, and they don't they don't mess around. And so you get everything. You get everything that you paid for, and that's what I paid for. I want to see David Lee Roth. It's not disappointing to hear about the guy when I saw Robbie Williams. When you mentioned that, it reminded me a little bit about Matt Goss, who's over at Mirage. And that is a show where he has a lot of hits that Americans might not know or recognize. But when you're there in a crowd has a lot of Brits, they know those songs and they love them. Mm. And he mixes in with a Frank Sinatra tune, stuff like that. And that's another really close venue that's outstanding to see an artist.
Yeah. All three of those guys are just great overall entertainers.
Yeah, though. Showmen. Yeah.
Good fits for Las Vegas. David Lee Roth is like 65 years old, so if you got one good kick, that's pretty good.
One good kick, yeah, you know, and he didn't draw attention to it. He didn't talk about how old he is all the time, but, in fact, you know, a lot of the talking, he just kind of was goofing around on stage. At one point, he put an Elvis wig on. I know he's a big Elvis fan. At one point, he broke out like a harmonica, and I thought, the last time I saw somebody do that was a Bruce Willis concert. I actually did see Bruce Willis perform once. It was a Studio 54. Oh, it was a great time. But you hear the first parts of a song and you just kind of get amped up for it. And he is 65, so you could tell he got a little bit of help with the vocals at some point. Mm-hmm. But it was still great. It wasn't like he was lip syncing.
Mm-hmm. That seems like the right room for him at this time.
Yeah.
I do think that, you know, if they could, I think the Van Halen guys would be playing a residency in Vegas these days.
Well, if they did that, they could get a far bigger venue than House of Blues.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they could do a stadium. And I know that everybody around Vegas is talking about what are going to be the stadium residencies when Allegiant Stadium opens up. Van Halen could be one of those. Bruce Springsteen, that's kind of artist, that's kind of level that would sell out a stadium.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I like that this residency thing is swinging into these smaller rooms, because obviously there's only a handful of artists that could do an Allegiant Stadium residency. There's more that can play one of our three big rooms, you know, and then nobody ever talks about, like, George Strait's residency at T-Mobile, which is incredibly successful and has been going on almost since that place opened.
You've seen that one?
I have not.
Okay. But do you know?
That's, you know, 18,000 to 20,000 people. The Sphere that Madison Square Garden is building is in that range also. If they start having residencies,
yeah.
Resorts World's building a 5,000-seat theater, they could start having residencies. There's only so many artists to go around to play in rooms of that size. But I do think that you really broaden it quite a bit, and you can get into other musical genres and specific little musical nooks if you start doing other shows in these smaller rooms. So right. I'm looking forward to more of this happening. Next up on the residency roster, at the end of this month, January 24th, Foreigner starts playing their shows at the Venetian.
Very excited about Foreigner. I was thinking about that residency coming just a few days ago. So I pulled up Spotify and pulled up Foreigner and just had let it roll. 7, 8, 9, 10 songs deep into just Spotify giving me Foreigner, I still knew them all. I was like, this is fantastic. I can't wait to see this. I have to see this. Let me ask you a question. And there's a right answer. What's the better Foreigner love song? Is it "I Want to Know What Love Is" or "I've Been Waiting for a Girl Like You"?
Whew. That's a tough question.
Well, there is a right answer.
How do you know there's a right answer? I'm going to have to say, damn it, I don't know. I can't choose.
The right answer is "I Want to Know What Love Is."
I feel like that's the better known song. I bet you if you put that on in a bar, I bet you're getting more people to sing along with that.
Well, I think
then I've been waiting.
I might know both. I don't know. I just
just because you know both.
I know. It turns out what I was listening, I know a lot more Foreigner than I thought.
They're one of those bands. That's how you describe that band, I think.
Yeah.
You do know more of their songs than you think you know.
Oh, absolutely. Head Games? Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear that song. I'm from Rochester, New York, and Lou Gramm, a Foreigner, is from Rochester. So growing up, it was like, it's like the way we talk about Imagine Dragons here, Dan Reynolds. So if anybody, oh, you're from Las Vegas? Yeah. Did you know Dan Reynolds, Imagine Dragons? Yeah. So I'm from Rochester. Oh, did you know Lou Gramm from Foreigner is from Rochester? Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. Hometown hero.
I think those shows are going to do very well at the Venetian. And then after that, going back up to the larger rooms, Kelly Clarkson opens April 1st at Zappos Theater.
That'll be massive.
I think so. And yeah, she's really great live. So, yeah, that could go in a lot of different ways, too. I bet she'll sing some songs that are not her own. I bet she'll pull out some favorites and do some covers. And then May 22nd, Sting opens his show at the Coliseum, which is probably going to do pretty well.
Yeah, he could have done a T-Mobile kind of George Strait thing. I mean, you know, Sting is all time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's canon.
Yeah, and he's the record that he either just put out or is about to put out is kind of new versions of his big hits. So,
like reworked versions?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's risky.
So I think we're going to get some of that in the Coliseum show.
Ooh, I see. I'm hesitant about that. I went and saw Christopher Cross over at Golden Nugget. Now I'm a big Christopher Cross fan. You know, and he did a song that I love. It'd Never Be the Same, I think, was the song. And he was like, hey, we reworked the music to it. So it doesn't sound a little like you're used to, but we think you'll like it. No, I didn't like it. Yeah. I was like, Christopher Cross, I need to hear it exactly the way you did it before.
Well, that's, you kind of think the Vegas audience wants to hear it as close to the record as possible, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or at least do it as close to the record as possible and then say, hey, how about we change it up and do it differently? Have you ever been to a concert where you saw them perform the same song twice?
Yes.
Who was
that? And that concert was, it wasn't a single artist concert. It was like a charity show.
So a bunch of people?
A few different acts. And Lisa Loeb played that damn song twice.
She played Stay twice?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I would have paid for that. I went to a show that was like, that was, you know, like a radio station concert, had like 9 or 10 artists, and this was like 20 years ago. And so the people on this list, Jessica Simpson, Ricky Martin, Casey and JoJo, it was that era. But Lionel Richie was there. And Lionel Richie's, you know, one of the greatest of all time, right? And he played Dancing on the Ceiling, and I went nuts and played all the old Commodore stuff. And then he's like, I'm going to play my new song. I can't remember the name of it. He played it. And we're all in the audience. Yeah, that's great. And he's like, that was great. Let's do it again. And he played the new song.
That's a strong move right there.
Back to back. Yeah, it was. It had me going to the bathroom. I was like, I'll take a break. I'll be back.
This isn't really a residency, but I feel like we should throw the Who into this list too, because they're coming back to play at the Coliseum. I think 6 shows starting May 5th.
They're not calling that a residency?
I think 2 years ago they played something similar at the Coliseum. I mean, I don't know. People can call whatever they want a residency.
They
these
do
days.
These days, don't they?
6 shows in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whatever. Def Leppard was only here for like a month's worth of shows, right?
No, I get the feeling that they should be coming back. Like Zappos.
I think they will.
It's like they announced they're going to come back the next year. Usually that's what you hear.
They should.
I guess
Def Leppard should definitely come back. Yeah. They should be here for the long haul. That highly successful and giving the fans what they want, that show.
All the artists that we're talking about here, when you talk about Def Leppard and you talk about David Lee Roth, Sting, these are all Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. You know, so these people are doing it forever. They have a huge catalog. They come here. If we just got to keep getting those back. More Hall of Famers back, and that guarantees sells tickets.
It seems like it's going in that direction. I mean, just of the artists that we're talking about coming through this year, I mean, all of them are in that, you know, what you might call legacy artists, maybe with the exception of Kelly Clarkson. That's probably the more modern person in this year's roster so far. I think we could still see another one or two residencies announced in the coming months that could open this year still. I think Park Theater, looks like Park Theater's pretty stacked.
Yeah.
They got a lot of Lady Gaga shows, a lot of Aerosmith. They got Bruno Mars back.
Yeah.
Cher's going to be finishing up, I think, in the spring there.
Oh, that's right. Cher, come back.
So I don't know how much space they have, but it seems like you could get a couple more, get someone into the Coliseum, mm-hmm. maybe get another one into Zappos Theater or get Def Leppard to come back over there. I think the sleeper residency is the Mariah Carey show at the Coliseum. And I'm not sure if she's going to be coming back after. She's got February shows.
Yeah.
I would assume she would be back for the holiday shows. Those seem to do pretty well.
Those are big.
But I don't know. I don't know how well those do. I don't know if she's selling tickets. I've seen her four times there now.
Right.
She's gotten better every time. And the holiday shows that we just saw, best show I've seen her do.
So she brings it.
Yeah, I think she's back.
Okay.
What I'm saying. Okay. I think she's back in a live capacity.
Yeah. For a bit there was some criticism about her live performances.
Sure. But it'd be interesting to see if she keeps coming back.
Kelly Clarkson could do a holiday show. She's that kind of performer.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put her as a legacy artist yet, but I would put her like in the same level as Britney when she came. She came young, Britney did, but had, a lifetime's worth of success already in her career. And I feel that that's kind of the way that Kelly Clarkson is.
Man, think about that. We're supposed to be on year two of Britney Spears at Park Theater right now. And we didn't get it.
I think they made up for it all right.
Turned out okay over there.
It turned out all right, but they got Lady Gaga. I don't worry about anything.
Well, there's a lot of exciting residency stuff happening. If we do get some new announcements, we'll have to have you back.
Thank you. I'd love
for some further analysis.
Thanks, Brock.
Thanks for being here. Strip, and that music you just heard was from Xavier Mortimer's Magical Dream in the Magic Attic. Xavier Mortimer just performed his 1,000th show on the Las Vegas Strip last week, and I just checked it out just now. That was my favorite part of the show, actually, and you're going to have to go to the show to find out what he's doing along with that music, which he composed. Much of the soundtrack for his show, he created it himself. Very talented guy. He is the first performer to come out of a Cirque du Soleil show and headline his own show on the Strip. He's been doing it for 3 years now, and he started out at Planet Hollywood. Now he's in what used to be called the Windows Showroom at Bally's. It's been renamed the Magic Attic because it's home to a trio of magical shows. There's also Paranormal, the mind-reading show with mentalist Frederick Da Silva. And then the newest addition is Potted Potter, the Harry Potter satire. It's one of the smallest rooms on the Strip, but one of the busiest. I'm talking to Xavier Mortimer this week writing about his show in my Thursday column at LasVegasSun.com. Curtain up all about shows in Vegas, so go check that out. These three magic shows are not the only entertainment offerings at Bally's these days. On the other side of the casino, back towards the steakhouse, is the back room, which is home to X-Rocks, the rock and roll version of the X-Burlesque topless review at the Flamingo, just across the street. And it's also the home of the Misbehave game show, which is pretty different from everything else on the Strip. It really is a game show. The audience is competing. It's a lot of fun. Las Vegas Weekly named it the best strip secret in 2018. If you like absinthe and shows like that, you'll probably like Misbehave Game Show too. You should check it out. And then, of course, a room to keep an eye on
the iconic Jubilee Theater, which I'm staring at right now, still has its lovely flashing neon marquee, which is a good sign to me because this room was planned to be renovated to be headquarters for a new motorcycle stunt show from the guys of Nitro Circus, the MTV show. That show has not yet come together, or perhaps will not come together. It was delayed. Not sure the status of it at this moment, but as far as we know, on the other side of those doors, it still looks like the Jubilee Theater. And there's no telling what kind of show or who the headliner might be in that room going forward. Bally's an interesting property overall because rumored to be perhaps sold as Caesars Entertainment and Eldorado Resorts continues to complete that merger. We know Eldorado Resorts executives want to unload some of these other Caesars Entertainment properties located right in the center of the strip. I bet Bally's would get some interest.
Okay, it's time for your weekend rundown on the strip. Keep in mind, of course, that you can always find extra entertainment options and ideas every Friday in my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. Keith Urban, again, is back at the Coliseum, and Dionne Warwick returns to her lounge-tastic gig at Cleopatra's Barge, also at Caesar's Palace. Tool plays T-Mobile Arena Friday night before the UFC event takes over on Saturday. Babyface has another weekend set at the Mirage. Tiffany Haddish is doing stand-up at Park Theater, and Chris Tucker is doing it at Encore Theater this weekend. Styx is back at the Pearl at the Palms, and the Black Keys play a concert at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan on that same Sunday night. The big names in the clubs this weekend are Ludacris at Dre's, Steve Aoki at Hakkasan, Saweetie and Rick Ross are both at Light on Friday and Saturday, respectively. Tiesto's at Omnia, and the Chainsmokers, of course, are at XS on Saturday night. Thanks again for joining me on this episode of The Sun on the Strip, and special thanks to Jason Latham for stopping by. If you want to follow along with me and the entire GMG crew as we cover all the Las Vegas shows, music, nightlife, food, and more, stay locked to LasVegasSun.com/entertainment. You can reach me anytime at Brock.Radke@LasVegasSun.com or hit me up on Twitter at BrockVegas3. Have a great week.